Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
To do that, but I think it's important. It's important that we honor what God is honoring. And I want to invite you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I don't want to preach. I was just thinking that's the preacher's famous last words. But I do believe that God's given me a word for you as a church and for the significance of this day. And I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. By the way, how awesome is your worship team? Thank you, sir. I thought Steph did an amazing job. And I just think it's amazing just the presence of God in, you know, worship and how you guys led us. Thank you so much. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5 says this: "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants, he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. And according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, a foundation, someone else is building upon. Let each one take care how he builds upon. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know, Pneuma South, that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" I want to talk a few moments on the foundation of the church. The foundation of the church. If you've ever observed the construction site of a skyscraper in the city or in some other location around the world, you'll know that before they add height and to that building, that construction, they spend months preparing the foundations, digging deep into the soil and putting the necessary foundations in place and structures in place to support the height of that building. And the intended height of the facility in the building actually determines how deep they need to dig into the foundation. And so even though they may have a 30, 40, 50-story building going up, you won't be able to see that for a long time. Why? Because they're digging deep into the soil, because they know that the foundations actually determine the strength of the height of the building. Before God builds a ministry, before he builds a church, he builds a person. Ministry happens through people, not through buildings. Is not the goal. Buildings just facilitate ministry and what God has calling that particular church to do. And God's purposes don't appear overnight. There is a process in all of our lives that we need to go through. For me and Simone, God prepared us for over 40 years to take on the leadership of this house. And 20 years ago, it was in my heart. God gave me a vision and I sensed a call to do what we're doing today. But it took 20 years and over 40 years of preparation in the family that I was raised in to be able to have the capacity to lead something of this nature. And in those seasons of the past, there were seasons of contradiction. There were seasons where I questioned God's purpose. And yet in all of it, I was confident of Philippians 1:6. "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it through to completion." at the day of Jesus Christ. Never draw a conclusion about God's intention for your future based upon a current contradiction. Your current contradiction does not determine God's ultimate purposes for your life. Seasons come and go. There's a time and a season for every matter under heaven. And this couple, Pastor Steve and Pastor Candace, have been through a process, have been through seasons of contradiction, of questioning, God, what are you doing? But all of it didn't change the fact that God had called them and God has called you as Pneuma South. He knew it was in his heart that this church would be here and that these leaders would be here for such a time as this. God's purposes and vision for this house hasn't changed just because of the changing seasons. Both promise delayed and promise fulfilled can at times distort our focus and get us distracted by secondary things. And so this passage is a call to refocus. It's a call to focus on what's most important, because often what can happen in the fog of church life is that we can too easily get our eyes off Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and get our eyes onto personalities. The context of this passage is that in Corinth, there is divisions and factions which don't exist here, but in Corinth they did, that have formed based around who people follow. And so in verse 5, Paul says, well, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? He answers his own question. We're actually servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. There's something about our human brokenness that likes to find significance in prominence. And so in the significance, in the pursuit of significance, sometimes we can try and attach ourselves to the strength of others to feel important ourselves. There's nothing wrong. The Bible says the strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. I believe the strength of every local church ought to minister to the needs of a community where there's weakness and brokenness and there are things happening. And even in leadership, God empowers and strengthens and anoints people to be able to carry weight and responsibility that those who are on a journey of growing in maturity and growing in strength can align with, can follow and partner with to grow stronger in God. It's called discipleship. Our significance, though, doesn't come from any prominence that we may have or titles that we may have. Our significance comes from Jesus and our relationship and faith with Him, in Him, and our obedience to what He asks us to do. Success in the kingdom of God is not measured by the metrics of this world. It's measured by faithfulness and obedience to what God has asked you to do. And Paul says, we're servants. Not to whom you believe, not to whom you give attention, but through whom you believe. Churches are built on the backs of servants, not celebrities. And it's just so important we understand that greatness in the kingdom is based upon servanthood. You know, when considering who to invite to come and speak at our church at various conferences, events, different things, I remember the Holy Spirit said to me one time, don't invite a name, invite my messenger who will impart my heart to the people. I'm not worried about a name, I'm looking for the heart of God. And I can tell you in Pastor Steve and Candace and in the leadership team that is developing, forming and establishing here, there's the heart of God. Doesn't mean we're perfect, far from it, but what it means, we're in pursuit of the Father's heart. We're after His intention for people's lives and for this church. And so it's God that assigns certain people to certain ministries. And our response should be Romans 12:1. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. For this is your reasonable, rational, and only intelligent thing to do in light of what Jesus has done for us. You must always remember Pneuma South. And every leader in the room and every person who calls this church home. Whether you're called to plant a ministry, a activity, a church, or you're called to water a ministry or water a church. It's God who gives the growth. The Bible says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So if we missed it the first time, Paul does another lap and just wants to remind us, it's God who gives the growth, it's God who gives the growth, it's God who gives the growth. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I think too many believers and too many leaders are trying to do Jesus' job of building the church rather than getting on with the business of our job of making disciples of all nations. If we would make disciples, Pneuma South, Jesus will build his church. Jesus is committed to building his church. He's done it for 2,000 years. Something tells me he's pretty good at it. What we need to do is play our part and do our role. We're going to go into all the world, which means the southern suburbs of Melbourne and everywhere that God would send us as Pneuma Church, and we've got to go make disciples. God called Don and Hannah to plant Pneuma South. Praise God for their labor and praise God for their fruitfulness. But now God has called Steve and Candace to water what's been planted. Praise God for their labor and praise God for their future fruitfulness. John 3:27 says, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given to them from heaven. I cannot tell you, I'm praying that you get that revelation today. I cannot tell you how much that just takes stress away. Where I don't, to be honest with you, I'm not striving in my life and ministry to try and get somewhere, make something happen. Even the vision that God's given us of 200 churches, I'm not sitting at home, you know, rubbing my hands, stressed out, worried. How on earth is that going to happen? Either God's called us to do it or he hasn't. My job, Raf is stressed out and worrying about that. But I'm not. And the reason is, in all seriousness, yes, there is a weight that comes with the vision and the responsibility. But in all seriousness, either God is a part of this or he isn't. Either God's birthed this or he isn't. Everything that God has given me that is from heaven, that is good and perfect, it's come from his hand anyway. So why do I need to strive for it? And every business person in this room, to every business owner, to every worker, to every person that works in government, to every person that looks after a family, I just want to challenge you, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. We've got to constantly come back to, on what foundation are we building our lives upon? On what foundation? Is God building this or am I building this? Because everything that is birthed in the flesh has to be sustained in the flesh. But everything that is birthed in the Spirit will be sustained by the Spirit. What we've got to do is, we've got to make sure we're in the slipstream of the Spirit and we're going where God's going, because Jesus knows how to build his church. Any success we receive depends on God's grace, not on man's skill. The Bible says in verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. What is grace? Grace is divine unmerited favor. You didn't do anything to earn it, but God gave it to you anyway. Why? Because he loves us. Grace has many applications. We know that there's salvation grace. You and I are saved by grace through faith. For every person here who maybe has faith questions, God questions, who maybe is on a journey where you don't have a personal, intimate relationship with God, and you're here today, invited to come along by someone in the church or friends and extended family of Steve and Candace, and you're here today, but maybe you don't have a personal faith in Jesus, you need to know you can't earn your way to salvation. You can't save yourself from your own sinfulness. We are saved by grace through faith in what Jesus Christ has done and who he is. Grace also empowers us. It empowers us to live a holy life. Grace is a gift that empowers us with our giftings. Grace is something that sustains us in the midst of suffering. The Bible says in Romans 12:6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. 1 Peter 4:10 says we are to be good stewards of God's varied grace. There is a grace and anointing that is upon this couple and upon this leadership team, and there is a grace that is upon Pneuma Church, and there is a grace that is upon Pneuma South. In our brokenness, we tend to have the propensity to promote ourselves above our grace. Sometimes we don't recognize what that grace is, and so we step outside of the times and seasons of God for our lives, and we tend to try and promote ourselves. I remember back in the late 90s when I was an intern, and then into the early 2000s after I left the police force, I'd been preaching at church a little bit back in the day of cassette tape recordings, if you know what I'm talking about. Some of you wouldn't even know. That's like a language other than English. You wouldn't know what I'm talking about. Others remember the cassette tape ministries of churches. And so we had a conference coming up, and I asked the pastor, you know, hey, pastor, I just think this would be a great idea. I felt like Peter saying to Jesus, you know, Jesus, why don't we build a booth and a tent here for the move of God, for you and Moses and Elijah. And so I'm like, you know, pastor, let's get these my sermons onto tape and we can sell them at the conference and it'll be a blessing to many people. And he just sort of smiled at me, and he kindly, he was like the smiling assassin. And he just looked at me and he said, Corey, that's wonderful. I love your passion, but it's not your time. And I was so deeply hurt and so wounded. Who does he think he is? And then I prayed about it and God agreed with him. And it's amazing. Sometimes God actually agrees with the pastor. And so I had to learn a lesson in that season of my life that there is a time and a season for every matter under heaven. And the key to increase in any area of your life, financially, spiritually, relationally, in your work, career, ministry, the key to increase is steward what God has put into your hand now. Just steward it. Don't promote yourself above your time or your grace. God has the times and seasons of our lives. He makes everything beautiful in its time. I remember interviewing a prominent Christian leader, which we would all know of, and I asked him in front of a conference audience, what's the secret to your ministry? And he said, God's grace. And I said, yeah, I know that. I know you were going to say that. I mean, like, what's the real secret? What's the secret sauce that you can share with everybody today? And he said, there is no secret. It's all by God's grace. We play our part, and God is very good at playing his part. The reason why this is important is because we live in a culture that is enamored with what we can do. We live in a culture where it's our efforts, our work, our energy that we're so prideful of. And yet the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wisdom of this age. There is a picture I saw in a boardroom of a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, and on the picture read this caption: if you ever see a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, just know it didn't get there by itself. Everything we have is by God's grace. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, of whom there is no shadow or variation due to change. And one of the chief obstacles to the future building of this local church is not just forgetting God's grace, but it's becoming careless with how and what we build with. And that's why the Apostle Paul in the second half of verse 10, he says, let each one take care, meaning all of us, how we build upon the foundation that has been laid. See, what Paul does, he contrasts gold, silver, and precious stones versus wood, hay, and straw. Gold, silver, and precious stones represent the spirit. Wood, hay, and straw represents the flesh. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, if you were to go back in the Hellenistic period of which this letter was written, you would discover that the test of the strength of a building at that time was measured by fire. Literally, they would try to set the thing on fire, And if it didn't burn, they did a good job. If it started to burn, they realized building with the wrong materials. And so Paul writes to the church in Corinth with this image in mind. And he says in verse 13, there is a day coming and it's going to reveal and it's going to test by fire each one's work. What we have done with what God gave to us. We're all going to be held to account, and that is meant to sober us up. It's not meant to cause us to live in constant fear. A healthy fear of God is a wonderful gift. It'll save you from many destructive consequences. But it's to cause us to embrace stewardship as a lifestyle. Every one of us will have to give an account for what we've done, how we've lived our lives, including Simone and I as the leaders of Pneuma Church globally, and also Pastor Stephen Candace, but to every member of this church. How do you ensure that your ministry and your works are not burnt to ash? You build with eternity in mind. You don't just live for the temporary. You don't live for yourself. You live for the cause of the kingdom of God. You live for the glory of Jesus. And you build with eternity in mind, because the temporary is short, eternity is a long time. I want to ask you today, what are you building your personal faith upon? Is it upon the rock of Jesus Christ, the rock of God's word, or the shifting sands of culture? Because one day the sands of culture will say this, next year and in a decade it'll say something else. And if we just keep moving with the shifting sands of culture, but don't build our lives upon the rock of God's word, it's going to be burnt up. Are you building your life upon faith or man's reason? Are you building your ministry based upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit or the personality and charisma of someone? Are we building our lives upon the foundation of God's word or with self-help principles about what we can do in our own strength? Are we building our lives and our churches on prayer or on busy activity? Because to whom much has been given, much is required. Pneuma South, take care how you build. And if our co-laboring with Christ in the gospel is going to stand the test of fire, we've got to build on the foundation of Jesus with quality materials. Verse 11 says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no greater foundation than Jesus. Jesus is the chief cornerstone of our faith. And so Pneuma South, never stop preaching Jesus. Never stop singing about Jesus. Never stop pointing people to Jesus. Because if you'll do that, you'll build with quality materials. You'll build with the sort of materials that will sustain and grow this church. Current trend in our modern culture, and sadly, unfortunately, in some churches, is a trend toward the form without the substance. Meaning we interpret that lights, camera, action, and skinny jeans makes you a Pentecostal church and spirit-filled, when, in fact, those things are just cultural forms. They're maybe helpful tools, maybe not helpful, but that's not the substance. The substance is made up of the very nature and power of God Himself in the lives of people. Ministry without prayer is powerless. So Pneuma South, you've got to build with prayer, because prayer fuels power. And I know this couple, they are prayers. They live it, they breathe it, they eat it and sleep it, and that will get into the culture of this church. I know it's already here because of who Don and Hannah are, but I know that it's going to continue to grow. Life without truth is dangerous. So Pneuma South, preach the word in season and out of season, because God's word's our foundation. Why? Because the word is quality material. It's an instrument, it's a tool. Love without generosity lacks integrity. So Pneuma South, give generously. In fact, I believe that this church will not reach its full potential without sacrificial giving. It won't happen. Churches don't get built on good intentions, but on living sacrifices. So let's give, let's tithe, let's honor God, let's do our best as God prospers us. But let's see Pneuma South fulfill all that is in God's heart for it and not be held back by a lack of resources. Discipleship without relationship is unsustainable. So let's make disciples one life at a time. Let's build relationally. We are not here to build a show, an audience, or a crowd. We're here to build a family. We're here to make disciples. And we're here to do it in the context of relationship. If people are simply a part of the crowd, but they don't have a connection, there's not a relationship, and they're not being discipled, then the crowds, how many of us know, crowds came and went around Jesus, but it was the disciples who actually stood the test of time. Christianity without the supernatural is a contradiction. So in the southern suburbs of Melbourne, Pneuma South, you've got to contend for the miraculous. You've got to believe God for signs and wonders. We've got to go after it. I refuse to step back from calling our church and every believer to account on what the Bible calls us to. Jesus said, even greater works than these will you do. We believe that miracles are normal. And so we see that in the life of the New Testament church. And I'm like, if it's still on the menu, we're to believe for that today and to go after that, regardless of however people mock it or what they think about it. That's not, the church has been mocked for 2,000 years. It's going to take more than mockery and even persecution to stop us. In fact, nothing shall stop Jesus from building his church. So let's not be just a bunch of do-gooders who are well-respected citizens in our society. Let's be followers of Jesus. Let's be believers who move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Freedom without stewardship is actually irresponsible. So I would encourage us to exercise our freedom in Christ responsibly. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. One of the things I had a mentor in my life say to me, he said, look, just because you want to and just because you can doesn't mean you should. You've got a responsibility before Christ and an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not put a stumbling block in front of another brother. That's true love. That I will, yes, I'm free in Christ to do this, this, and this, but I will restrict my freedoms in order to serve you and love you. That's Christianity. And I think if we as the church would say, yes, we are, it's for freedom that Christ set us free. Yes, we're free, but I'm going to use that freedom to serve my fellow brother and sister. I'll tell you, that would transform a city. And believing without belonging in a church family is superficial, so build a covenant family. We praise God for faith and believe, but how many of us know we're also called to belong? And our churches should be places that are growing in a sense of covenant family. What does covenant mean? It means that there is this spiritual agreement, commitment, and contract that we have, that even though we have differences and even though we may disagree, we will not break relationship over different perspectives. We will honor God and honor each other. Sometimes in church life, there is conflict. Conflict is not a bad thing. Mishandling of conflict is a bad thing. It's how we honor each other in the midst of our differences and diverse perspectives, bringing all of our opinions and perspectives under the authority of God's word. Not just what's your opinion, but what does God say about that? And we've got to wrestle with that and work with that. But I tell you, when you know I'm in a covenant family, I'm in covenant relationship, and just because I'm on a journey of learning what the Word of God says about something doesn't mean I need to pick up my bat and ball and go home. No, I'm actually going to grow in maturity, and I'm going to stay the course, and I'm going to be a part of the solution. So a lot of people in the world right now pointing out all the problems. I want to know, where are the people that are going to stand their ground and say, we're in this to provide and supply and find solutions? That's a lot of people point out problems in a church. It doesn't take a genius. It takes a man and a woman of God to actually be a part of the solution and say, I'm going to be here, I'm going to plant myself, and I'm going to help be a part of what God wants to do in the coming days. And so, in conclusion, when we build on the foundation with these quality materials, we become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, the Bible says, do you not know that you're God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? When a local church is planted, God not only appoints leaders to lead it, but it's God going public with his heart for that community. As we were driving here from our Numa City location this morning, I can honestly say we're driving through the streets, and I've ministered in this part of Melbourne many times in the past, I could feel the heart of God for this part of the city. This part of the city needs a strong, flourishing, fruitful church. It needs a move of God. I praise God for the Anglican churches and the Catholic churches and the other Pentecostal churches and Baptist churches that are in this region. We want to partner with them and join with them to bring revival to this city. We are not the only solution, and we don't think that we are. But I tell you what, God is no respecter of persons. When he finds a couple, a church, leaders full of faith, he will join you, he will join with us and says, let's build something that will make a difference for all eternity. And this will be known as the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. This is the temple of God. This is the move of God that God is wanting to do in this city. And the ministry of Numa South to the surrounding community is a visible manifestation of the kingdom of God. So let's play our role, because it's time for height to be added to the house. God wants to add height. A foundation has been established the last several years. Now it's time to build.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, numa.church. Thank you for listening.